If you'll get your psalm books back out and turn to number 586, we're going to sing this song together at the close of our lesson. We'll still have an invitation song after that, but as a part of our lesson toward the end, I want to sing together with you number 586. And if you'll turn over there and look down at the bottom of the page, you'll notice the author of that song. Several years ago, there were some members of the church that came to Springfield, moved in from another state, and he was a song leader. And one Sunday morning, he stood up and led this song, "Can He Depend on You?" I'd never heard this before, first time I'd heard it. And ever since that time, I've been impressed with the meaning and the lyrics of this song. If you look down at the bottom of the page, you'll notice that the author of both the words and the music is by a man named Wilkin Bacon. He's a member of the church. He was a Christian, a member of the church in the mid-1900s. And if you'll notice on the right-hand side, in parentheses, it says Wilkin Chief Bacon. He and his family were from the Choctaw tribe in Oklahoma. He was born in the late 1800s, and they lived in Oklahoma, and they were Native American Indian, and so he got the nickname Chief. But when he grew up, he was a professional singer. He traveled around the country singing in quartets and other singing groups professionally. And as the story goes, when he had done that for many years, he was on the road all the time. He was traveling. He was away from home. He was away from the local congregation. He realized that he was putting too much emphasis in the things of this life, and he was neglecting the things of God. And maybe we find that in our own lives. We get caught up in the things that we're doing from day to day and week to week, and we see that we're taking care of our things, but maybe the things of God are slipping a little bit in our life. And so he quit. He quit his singing career, and he wrote this song, "Can He Depend on You?" He realized that he really was not being dependable with God. And so he just quit. And he became a gospel preacher and a song leader in the local church. We're going to sing this song toward the end of this lesson. And so this morning, I want us to ask the question, can He depend on you? Can God depend on you? Can God depend on me from day to day? I think the fact that you're here this morning is a good sign. There are many people who absent themselves and aren't here who could be here. We understand because of sickness and some things like that that folks can't be here, but there may be some who could and have just chosen not to be. But not just in the matter of attendance, we're going to see in all areas of our life, can God depend on you? Are you trustworthy? Are you reliable? Can He depend on you? You know, God is looking for dependable individuals to be in His kingdom. Turn with me to the book of Job. God is looking for the dependable. Have you ever noticed in the book of Job how that whole test comes about? It's not something that Job asked for. It's not something he sought out. It's something that came about behind the scenes that he didn't have anything to do with, because Satan and God are working out this test. Come with me to Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Have you ever noticed that it was God who put Job up to this? God saw something in Job. God put His best man forward because He saw something in Job. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 6. "Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, that Satan also came among them. And Jehovah said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." I think about 1 Peter 5 and 8, where Peter says that the devil roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 8, and Jehovah said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God brought him up. God brought him up. I believe God saw something in Job where he believed that he was dependable to go through this test. Have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil. Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, doth not Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will renounce thee to thy face. And Jehovah said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Jehovah. And in verses 13 through 19, some of Job's physical possessions, like his animals, are taken away, and then his children are killed. They're taken away. And verse 20, Job arose and rent his robes and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Jehovah gave and Jehovah hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job was dependable, and God saw that, I believe, before the contest even began. God can see in you and me this morning already whether or not we are dependable or not. The same thing happens in chapter 2 and verse 3. Have you considered my servant Job? And then Satan comes back and touches Job's body with boils, and he does the same thing. He remains faithful to God. Can he depend on you? How does it end? There are ups and downs in Job's life as you go through the story. There's times where he questions God about some things. But in the end, as James says in James chapter 5, consider the patience of Job. He endures all the way to the end. He was dependable, not to renounce God. What does he see in you? What does he see in me? If that contest were going right now in heaven, would God say, have you considered my servant Mark? Have you considered my servant Daniel? Would your name be there? Would he already know something about you to even bring up your name to the devil? That's how impressive this is. I believe God is looking for the dependable, and I believe he knows who they are. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. God knew something about Abraham in advance to say in Genesis chapter 18 that I know that with regard to his children, he's going to command them the way of the Lord. I know that about Abraham. He knows about us already. He knew that Abraham would be dependable with regard to raising his family. And so in Genesis 18 and verse 19, for I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And that's what Abraham did. He passed it on to Isaac, who passed it on to Jacob, who passed it on to his sons. And we see the faithfulness of Joseph all the way down in Egypt years later. I know him. I have known him. That goes back to chapter 12 when Abraham first comes out of the Ur of the Chaldees and shows himself to be a man of faith. There are ups and downs. There's a time in chapter 12 where he lies. There's a time in chapter 16 where he has a child with Hagar, the handmaid. There are times in his life where he's not right with God, but he rebounds from those times and he continues to be faithful. And then we come to this statement in chapter 18. God is looking for the dependable, and he knows ahead of time who's those individuals are based upon the way they've been living. Can he depend on you? Put your name into verse 19, I have known, and then just put your name in there. God knows that we're going to raise our family the right way. Can he put our name there? It's not just in the Old Testament. Turn with me to the New Testament. I believe we find the same thing with Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Jesus knew something about Peter in advance. There's something about the lives of these individuals where God and Jesus can tell if this is going to be a person who is trustworthy and reliable and dependable. You remember the occasion on the night in which Jesus was betrayed in Luke chapter 22, and on the night that even Simon or Peter denies the Lord three times, Jesus knows that this is going to happen, and yet He says, "You're going to come back." That shows some confidence in advance that Peter was dependable. Luke 22:31, "Simon, Simon, behold Satan." He shows up again just like in Job 1. He's always out to get somebody. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not. And do thou, when once thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren." He knows in advance that this man is going to rebound from his denial. He was looking for something and knew something about Peter. He was well aware that on one occasion Peter tried to stand in his way, Matthew 16, and Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." He knew about Peter wanting to walk on the water, and then he looks at the waves and he begins to sink. He knows about Peter. But he also knows that there's something in this man that he's going to come back and he's going to turn around and he can establish his brethren. And that's what he did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 when he stood up with the others and preached the first gospel sermon. Verse 33, Peter said, "Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And he said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day until thou shalt three times deny that thou hast known me." He knows that Peter is going to deny him. He's well aware of that. But he also knows, and he's prayed for Peter, that he will rebound and come back. And when you do, establish your brother. Jesus knew something about Paul. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Why does he meet with Paul on the road to Damascus? What is there about this Saul of Tarsus that I want to appear to him as the resurrected Lord and commission him to go preach the gospel to others, to be an apostle? Jesus saw something in Paul. And he had confidence in this man that he will stop being a persecutor of the church and be a faithful apostle. And so Paul recognizes in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "I thank him that enabled me, even Christ Jesus our Lord, for that he counted me faithful." Underscore that in your Bible. "He counted me faithful," or trustworthy, "appointing me to his service, though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me as chief might Jesus Christ show forth all his long suffering for an example of them that should thereafter believe on him unto eternal life." Jesus was well aware of Paul's ability to persecute the church. And yet he appears to him anyway. He's well aware of Paul's past in Judaism, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel in a hardcore Pharisee. He's well aware of that. But yet he sees something in Paul. And the text says, "He counted me trustworthy." He saw something there that could change. And that Paul could be just as committed to Christianity as he was to Judaism. I believe God and Jesus are looking for the dependable. Does he see that in you, and does he see that in me? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It needs to be there because it is a fruit of the Spirit. To be a faithful Christian, The word faithful in Galatians 5:22 is not the noun faith, like we have faith in God. It's not the verb to believe in God. It is an adjective. It means trustworthy, reliable, dependable. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. It's a part of being a Christian, brethren and friends. And it needs to be in our life. It's an adjective describing our trustworthy and reliable and dependable character. Can He depend on you? How do you determine if something is dependable? How do you know that? How can you tell if someone or something is dependable? Let's look at a few things. How about time? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. You can tell if something or someone is dependable over a long period of time. Anybody can stay married for one day, but what about a lifetime? Any car can work for one day, but what about a lifetime? You see, anything can be fine for one day, but what about a long period of time? You buy appliances at the store and machinery and other things at the store. Any of that can work for one day, but what about for a long period of time? That's something different, isn't it? Time manifests whether or not we are dependable. Anybody can be a Christian for one day. But what about a lifelong service? What is said there in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 about God? Know therefore that Jehovah thy God, He is God, the faithful. We're looking at some Bible passages that use this adjective, trustworthy and dependable and reliable. He is God, the faithful God. Look at this. Who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. It doesn't matter how long time is going to last, God is going to be trustworthy and dependable, and we need to be like that. Time shows whether or not we're dependable to God. Anybody can come up out of the waters of baptism and on that day be faithful and maybe the next day. But what about a lifelong service to Christ? Can He depend on you? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Another thing that comes to my mind is pressure. Pressure manifests whether or not something is dependable or not. If you have some tools, let's say you have a wrench or a socket wrench or an open-end wrench, a pipe wrench, pair of channel locks, and it's just laying out there on the workbench or laying out there on the table and nothing's happening. Is that a dependable tool? Well, you're thinking, we can't tell until we put some pressure on it. Then you get that wrench and you get it up there on that bolt or that nut and you really start putting the torque on it, then you know if it's dependable or not. You can't tell if it's just laying there. But when you start putting some pressure on that tool and it holds up and it doesn't break, that's a dependable wrench. Pressure. Do you remember in Daniel chapter 6 when those around Daniel were trying to find some fault in his life, and he's living a godly life, even as a leader in the kingdom, which is rare today that you can be both a leader and pure, you know, politically speaking and so forth. Look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. The presidents and the satraps sought to find occasion against Daniel as touching the kingdom, but they could not find no occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. This man is a trustworthy man. But come down to verse 10. When the pressure is put on him not to pray to his God, he does it anyway. I'm going to pray to my God like I've always done, verse 10. And you can put the pressure on me, you can throw me in the lion's den, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do. He's faithful, verse 4, and when the pressure's put on, verse 10, he shows it. You know, pressure. Any of us can do what God wants us to do as long as the day is easygoing and there's no temptations and trials and nobody's pressuring us to do what's wrong. It's relatively easy to. But when the pressure's on, what do? That's when you're dependable, not when you're just laying there on the workbench doing nothing. I want to keep a tool after I've really put the pressure on it and it doesn't break. I want to keep that one. Turn with me to Psalm 89, verse 37. Psalm 89, 37. What about consistency, constancy? That manifests dependability. Is it always consistent and constant in its work? Psalm 89:37. Talking about God's word and God's covenant, going back to verse 34. The psalmist says in verse 37, it shall be established forever as the moon. And then he talks about the moon as the faithful witness in the sky. Is there ever a time when somebody can't see the moon? There's some days where the moon's not there. The moon's always there. And somewhere, someone on this earth can see the moon. It's always there. It's a faithful witness. It doesn't just leave and come back. It's always there. Dependability is when we are constant and consistent, not hit and miss, not hot and cold. Do you know where we get that expression, hit and miss? That comes from the farmers back in the early 1900s who had hit and miss engines. When Henry Ford developed the combustible engine for his car, that had to be developed. It wasn't quite right at the very beginning. And those early engines would hit and miss. They would have a power stroke where it fired and it hit, and there would be some power there, but then it would go a while where it just wasn't doing anything. So it would be like pop. Pop, you know. Well, the problem with that is you can't go very fast. You can't have a lot of power. It's just hit and miss. If you want to see some of those hit and miss engines, for those of you who are interested, every July go to Adams, Tennessee to the Threshermen Show, and the farmers pull out those old hit and miss engines. If nothing else, it's kind of fun to listen to them. But they hit, and then sometimes they don't hit, and you're just sort of coasting along there, and then they'll hit again, you know. Not super reliable. So we get that expression, hit and miss. Do we hit sometimes, and then the rest of the time we're missing? Sometimes we're on, and sometimes we're off. Sometimes we're there, and then sometimes we're not. That's not dependability. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. What about absence? That's another way in which we know if we're dependable. You know of anybody that's unreliable when the teacher walks out of the room, all of a sudden they start misbehaving? You know, parents walk out of the room, all of a sudden we start misbehaving. There are people that are dependable as long as the boss is standing right over them and mom and dad are there and, you know, the principal or the teacher's there, you see. That's not dependability. Dependability is when, in the absence of individuals around me, I'm still going to do what's right. Jesus tells a parable. He says, this in Matthew 24. He also says it in Matthew 25. Look at Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful, the trustworthy, dependable, and wise servant whom his Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. His master had left, and when he comes back, he finds him doing what is right. In the absence of someone in authority, do you still do what's right? Mom and Dad are gone for the weekend. That happened to me one time. Kind of misbehave a little bit when Mom and Dad's gone. Or whatever it is. Verse 47, verily I say unto you that he will set him over all that he hath. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord tarrieth, he's gone and he's waiting, and shall begin to beat his fellow servants, and shall eat and drink and with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expecteth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut from him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. My master is gone. Woo! Let's have a good time. And Jesus is saying this. He's saying, I'm about to return and go back to heaven. And while you're down here on this earth, how are you going to be acting as a servant? One day I'm going to come back. That's the whole point. And in Matthew chapter 25, he illustrates the same thing in what we call the parable of the talents. The five-talent man, two-talent man, one-talent man. And the text says he leaves and he goes away. And those men either are faithful or they're not. In the absence of something, that manifests whether or not we are dependable. Look with me at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul had confidence in the Philippian brethren. Notice what he said there. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, look at this, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. You're obedient while I'm there, but I also want you to be obedient when I'm gone. That's dependability. Where someone doesn't have to be standing over us every second of the day to make sure that we're living right. There are times when we're by ourselves. Are we living right? And then turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. The amount of something that we have manifests whether or not we are dependable or not. Sometimes people say, well, if you'll give me a big old job, a big old responsibility, I'll do it now. But don't give me a little old piddly job because I don't want to have anything to do with that. Dependability is regardless of what you're giving. Given. Regardless of the amount that you have, regardless of whether it is yours or somebody else's. Now, I'll be responsible and take care of my own things, but don't give me somebody else's things. Jesus says, whether it's yours or someone else's, whether it's little or whether it's great, you're going to be faithful in anything and everything. He that is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And he that is unrighteous in very little is unrighteous in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, physical, earthly things, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Dependability is dependability whether it belongs to someone else or you, whether it's little or much, whether it's physical or spiritual things. I sure hope he makes me the boss of the company one day. Well, okay. Now, I'm not carrying out my job right now. I'm not handling the job that I have right now, but I really hope he makes me the boss one day. You see, that's the way people act sometimes. Whatever I have in life, amount-wise, I'm going to be dependable with. Can he depend on you? Let's look at some areas in which we need to be dependable. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 12. When Hezekiah was reforming God's people, they had left the law. They had abandoned the Passover. And Hezekiah is bringing God's people back to worshiping regularly there in Jerusalem. And in 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 12, the text says that he got the people to faithfully bring the oblations and the tithes and the sacrifices. They had dropped the ball. They had just gone and done their own thing for years, lived their own lives, neglected the temple service and the Passover. Are you faithful in your worship to God? Can He depend on you? It's good to see you this morning. It's good to see brethren who want to come and worship God. And I'm encouraged by that. And we need to pass that desire on to those around us as well. I normally don't read things from individuals, but I wanted to share this with you from a member of the church. It's probably over 50 years old. It's entitled, Not on Sunday Night. I love the church that Jesus built, and I know that it is right. I go every Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I love to sing the songs of God. Such worship must be right. This I do on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. And may God bless our preacher too and give him power and might. But put a sinner in my place. I won't be there Sunday night. I love to hear the gospel too. It gives me pure delight. I hear it every Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I'd go through rain and sleet and snow, do anything that's right, to be in church on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I know I need more hope and strength to keep me in the fight. For help, I come on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. Yes, we all must someday die. I hope I'll be doing right, so I might die on Sunday morning and not die on Sunday night. Whether it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, some other night, can He depend on you? What would it take to get you to come back tonight? What would it take to get you to come Wednesday night? To get you to come to Bible class? I'm encouraged by all of us here, and let's be encouraged in our own personal lives to be dependable each and every service. And not think of ourselves, but think of coming faithfully. 2 Chronicles 31:12. They faithfully brought those objects to come and offer up those sacrifices in worship to God. A few years later, in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 12, when there was another reformation and revival, under the reign of Josiah, the temple had fallen in disrepair, and they're cleaning out the temple and repairing the temple. And they found individuals there who would faithfully come and repair the temple. That's when they found the book of the law that was lost. Can you imagine that? God's word being lost in the temple. Where is it? They're digging around in a back room somewhere. This dusty old scroll called the Law of Moses. Can you imagine that? They had just gotten caught up in their own lives. My kids, my work, my house, my things, my job, my hobbies. And the temple had fallen in disrepair and God's word had been lost. Can you imagine that? And Josiah found some individuals who faithfully came and repaired that. Look at Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 2 and Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 13, Nehemiah found faithful men to watch over the city of Jerusalem while the walls are being rebuilt and the city is being inhabited. Faithful men, trustworthy, dependable. This is an important work. We have an important work that we're trying to do here in Clarksville. I want to encourage you to come back this evening. Bob is going to be speaking with us as one of our elders about the work here at Warfield Boulevard. I want you to come and hear that, the goals that we have for this year. But we have a work here, and we need to be dependable in that when we are called upon to do that. We need to be dependable that whatever comes out of our mouth, Proverbs 14 and verse 5, we're always going to be faithful. We'll never say a lie. We'll always speak what is truthful to our spouse and our children and those around us. We're always going to speak truthfully. We need to be reliable and trustworthy to do that. To teach God's Word accurately to others and share God's Word accurately with others. Jeremiah rebukes those false prophets of his day in Jeremiah 23 and verse 28. He says, you need to faithfully speak the Word of God. Quit coming up with these lies and falsehoods. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to pass the word on to faithful men. The word there is mankind, men and women, faithful, trustworthy, who will be able to teach others also. One of the biggest famines in the land today is the famine of God's Word. One of the greatest illiteracies in the land today is the illiteracy of God's Word. So we need to talk with others about that and be a faithful individual where the Bible can be put in our hands and we can take that and share it with others. Talk with others about that. Can He depend on you to tell someone else God's Word? Can He depend on you to do the work here at Warfield Boulevard? To speak the truth, to worship regularly? Can He depend on you to be a faithful member? There are different passages in the New Testament. The church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, Colossians 1, 2. Faithful brethren, trustworthy brethren. They're dependable, they're reliable. Not hit and miss. Not gone when the pressure is put on. Not just dependable for a day. Silvanus, 1 Peter 5, and Tychicus in Colossians chapter 4. And men by name are given who are faith. Timothy, 1 Corinthians 4, 17. In the case of Timothy, there were times in his life where he was a youth. He would have been considered a young person. And he's described as dependable. Our young people here this morning can be dependable and reliable and trustworthy. In 3 John 5, turn with me there, where Gaius is described as dependable. When people came preaching the gospel, he shared, he loved them, and he took them in and sent them on their way. He supported their work. You are faithful. You do a faithful work in whatsoever you do. Verse 6, they bear witness of your love. And verse 6 and 7, when people came to you preaching the word, you took them in and sent them on their journey, supporting truth. Taking people into your home, helping them. Can He depend on you to share your love with others and be supportive? And then ultimately at the end of life, can He depend on you to overcome victoriously the assaults that are made on our life as a Christian to live faithfully all the way to the end? In Revelation chapter 2, there was a member of the church in Pergamum, a church that was known for fellowshipping error. And this man, Antipas, in Revelation 2:13, is described as a faithful one. And he was killed for the cause of Christ, but he went to his death. He wasn't a fair-weather Christian. He wasn't a hit-and-miss Christian. But all the way to the point of dying. Verse 10, be faithful unto death. Those who reign with Christ, Revelation 17 and 14, are those who are called, chosen, and faithful. Anybody can be called. Anybody can obey the gospel, but are you faithful and dependable and reliable and trustworthy all the way to the end? Let's get out our psalm books, number 586. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, these brethren came and joined us, and he led this song one Sunday morning, and I was impressed. Never heard it before. Heard a lot of songs growing up. Never heard this one before. And just think about the author who had to come to a realization in his life that, you know, I'm off doing all kinds of things that I've been wanting to do, but I'm not being dependable in the Lord's service. Would you quit a job to be more faithful to God? That's interesting. Would you quit a hobby if that would help you become more dependable in God's service? This man did that and he wrote this song. Jesus came down from above. He came to do a lot of things for us. He just wants us to turn around and be dependable. Can we do that? Let's sing this song together this morning. Can He depend on you? Put your name in there as I put my name in there as we sing this song.